Every morning fights me moaning, cause of all the trouble I see. Life's a losing gamble to me. Cares and woes have got me moaning.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Open Language. I'm Diana.
And I'm Adam.
So we've got another pre-intermediate lesson talking about food again.
Right, so this time, foodies, we are going to the capital city.
Yes, Beijing. So Sarah seems to be traveling quite a lot within China.
Yep.
And now she has landed in the capital.
Okay, so let's find out who she's meeting, what she will be eating, and most importantly, what we can call those foods in English by listening to that dialogue.
Sounds good.
Hey, Sarah, how was the Great Wall?
The views were amazing, Phil, but after all that climbing, I'm starving.
Don't worry, the Peking duck is almost here.
I'm so excited. What else are we eating?
Oh, these are jiajiang noodles. They're tossed in a soybean paste, topped with minced pork and strips of cucumber.
Wow, that's quite flavorful.
Beijing's food is as headstrong as its people. We don't shy away from anything that brings out bold flavors.
What about dumplings? I hear those are a northern Chinese specialty.
Already ordered some.
What else is worth eating? I'm going to be here for a couple days.
You should definitely try lamb hot pot. And for breakfast tomorrow, I'll take you to get some flatbread. There's a huge variety. Oh, and mung bean milk.
Can't wait. What's for dessert?
Well, Wangfujing is right around the corner. It's a street lined with food vendors. And you have to try candied Chinese hawthorn.
Now our dialogue starts off with, "Hey Sarah, how was the Great Wall?"
Okay, and the speaker of that line is Sarah's friend Phil. So she tells him that the views were amazing. But after all that climbing, she's starving.
Starving.
I'm starving.
Okay.
You really want to stretch that out a bit. I'm starving.
Right. So you're very, very hungry.
I am so hungry.
Now, this is not used in a literal sense.
Right. Like starve to death.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Usually when you starve, you die because you don't have food.
Mm-hmm. But starving here is used in a more colloquial way to just mean super, super hungry.
Yeah. In fact, we've got lots of ways to say that we are super, super hungry in English.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time to tell you all of them right now. So we are just going to go ahead and put those in the grammar section.
Sounds good. Now, in addition to meaning someone's very hungry, how else could we use starving?
Well, when you are on a diet, a lot of people try to lose weight by starving themselves.
Ah, yes.
As in just not eating.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the best idea. And of course, if you are a really terrible person, you could starve your pets.
Oh.
Or if you were a really bad king, you could starve the people.
Right, right.
But since none of us are, well, I don't know, maybe some of you are kings. I'm not a king. I don't think we're going to be doing much of that. Are there any more, like, abstract ways we can use this?
Well, maybe a little kid might feel starved for attention.
Oh, yeah, especially in a big family,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, especially if there's three kids and, you know, the oldest kid is always going to be, you know, the first and then the youngest kid is the baby.
Yes.
So what about that poor kid in the middle? Starved for attention.
However, Phil says, don't worry, the Peking duck is almost here.
Okay, Peking duck is probably one of the most famous Chinese foods.
Yes.
Is that crazy to say?
Definitely not crazy. I would agree with you.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure you guys know what this is. The only thing is in English, we don't say roast duck.
Mm-hmm,
like, I guess you could, but everybody just calls it Peking duck.
Yeah, it's enough. Just the city and the name of the animal.
Right.
Now, the city we're in is Beijing.
Mm.
So why is this called Peking?
This is actually one of my favorite pieces of knowledge about China. I don't want to bore anybody too much, but I mean, it's true, right? Also the university.
Yes.
Like Beida is also Peking University.
Mm.
But it's just, it's kind of a crazy story. We're going to put it in the culture section for all of you readers. For now, just remember, guys, it's Peking duck, not Beijing duck.
All right. So Sarah is excited, and she wants to know what else they're eating.
Okay, so they're eating some noodles, right? And these noodles, I have sadly never eaten the real thing because they have the pork.
Of course. So these zhajiang noodles, they're tossed in a soybean paste. Now, this is going to be just a dark, savory sauce.
Okay, made from soybeans.
Mm-hmm. Topped with minced pork.
Okay, so this is where I get the problem. Because I'm okay with soybeans, I'm okay with noodles, the pork is a bit of a problem.
Right. Now, minced here is basically chopped very finely.
Yes, very, very, very finely. So it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is why it's difficult for me, because if it was a big piece of pork, I can just, you know, take it off.
Right.
but since it's minced, it's very, very, very small.
Right. Seems like Sarah finds it quite delicious.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And I like Phil's response here, you know, local Phil. He says the food here is as headstrong as the people.
Now, headstrong is technically a synonym for stubborn.
Stubborn, right? We even say willful.
Mm-hmm.
But stubborn is probably more accurate.
Right. However, I think headstrong sounds a little bit better than stubborn.
Right.
And maybe it means the person just kind of does whatever they want without caring what other people think.
Okay, so the food, I guess, also does that?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, okay. So cool, cool, cool. Guys, you know, feel free to experiment, to use different words in different places.
So he continues to say that we don't shy away from anything that brings out bold flavors.
Okay, so everybody knows shy. I'm a little shy.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps some of you guys even are shy yourselves.
Right.
But that's an adjective, and this is a verb.
Right. So if you are shying away from something, it doesn't mean you are shy yourself, but it does mean you try to avoid something.
Yeah, exactly. Almost like you don't dare do it.
Right. Right.
So if you say that we don't shy away, means that we have no problem doing this thing.
Exactly. So they have no problem with bold flavors.
With bold. When I think about bold, I think of America.
Really?
Well, because they always, you know, like barbecue sauce.
Okay.
As barbecue sauce has bold flavors.
All right. So very strong.
Very strong, right?
Mm-hmm. So in addition to meaning strong in terms of food, we could say that a person is bold.
Right. So this person would probably be, well, maybe a little brave, and certainly, you know, would like to talk very directly.
Right. So I would even say this person is very forward.
Yes, I would agree. Actually, I would even say that oftentimes bold people have very bold ideas.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. And the last usage of bold that I can think of is bolding text.
Oh, right. So when you're on your computer and you push Control B, or on the Mac, it's Command B?
Mm-hmm, right.
Okay. Or just click on the B.
Yeah.
And it makes the letters bigger.
Yes. So basically, it makes them look very thick and it just very stands out.
Okay. So we just said bolding, but you can also say put it in bold.
Yes.
Right. Put these letters in bold. Now, speaking of bold flavors, the next food on here, I guess there's some pretty bold flavors in dumplings.
Right. So these dumplings, everyone knows what dumplings are.
Mm.
However, in English, it's kind of a more general term. Anything that is wrapped with a skin and has filling inside.
Inside, right, is a dumpling. So basically 83% of Chinese food in our eyes is a dumpling.
Right. And Sarah even says that she's heard these are a northern Chinese specialty.
Okay, specialty. So something that you can get there, that they do a really good job of doing.
Mm-hmm, right. So Beijing or even just northern China in general, they're known for their dumplings.
Yes, exactly.
So it seems like Phil was already way ahead of her and already ordered some. And so she's curious then, what else is worth eating?
I like the way she asks this. What else is worth eating? Because worth, I think a lot of people look at this word worth, they immediately think value or money,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, is this worth the money? Is
yeah.
this worth, you know, is an iPhone worth, what is it, 10,000 RMB?
Yeah, quite expensive.
It's expensive, but a lot of people would say, you know, like, hey, actually, this is a really, really, you know, useful device,
mm-hmm.
and it is worth it.
Right. So the way she uses worth is quite similar in terms of having value.
Right.
She wants to know if it's good enough.
Right. So we don't know too much about Sarah. We do know she has been traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So she probably is trying to save money a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we know that she is a foodie.
Yes.
So she wants to find like the best value in what kind of food she eats.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's all just money. How else can we use this word worth? Does it always need to be about money?
Now, with anything that's really popular and worth the money, you have to ask if it's worth the wait.
Yeah. I do not like waiting, and I do not like wasting time.
Mm.
So a lot of times I feel, I mean, some things you just have to wait for.
Yes.
Right? There's nothing we can do about it. But, you know, other times you think, geez, is this huge lineup to get, like, dumplings worth the wait? Like,
right.
I mean, I can get dumplings in literally 10,000 other stores.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, no, these dumplings. And of course, there's also effort, right? We
yes.
talked about money, we talked about time. But, you know, if you're going to spend a lot of your energy doing something,
mm-hmm.
you also have to ask, is this worth it?
Right, right. Or maybe we can talk about worth in different ways.
Mm.
For example, let's say your grandmother gifted you something and it's not worth a lot of money.
Right.
But it does have a lot of sentimental worth.
Okay.
Now, the first thing Phil suggests is lamb hot pot.
Okay. So we have talked about hot pot before. We have talked about lamb before. So let's use our imaginations, put that, you know, lamb into the hot pot.
Right. And it's actually quite delicious because I had it recently.
Okay.
And in addition to lamb hot pot, he also says for breakfast, they should get some flatbread.
Okay, so flatbread, what's this?
Now, this isn't the kind of bread that you would buy at a bakery.
Mm, right. It's not like Western style bread.
Mm-hmm. So it is kind of literally a flat bread. So this is technically going to be shaobing.
Okay.
So any bing kind of you can call a flatbread.
A flatbread, right. And Phil is very, very, very correct to say that there's a huge variety.
Right.
Right? There's all kinds, so many different kinds of
mm-hmm.
of bread.
Right. Oh, and there's one last thing he mentions here.
And that is?
Mung bean milk.
That does not sound delicious.
Now, in Chinese, this is called dou zhi, so it's not really soy milk.
Right.
However, he says it is definitely an acquired taste.
Okay. So acquired taste. Acquire means to get something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You acquire money. You acquire friends.
Right.
But to acquire taste just basically means the first time you try it, it's maybe not so good. And the second time you try it, well, you know, maybe it's not so bad, but it's still not so good
mm-hmm.
to you.
So it's something that you have to grow and appreciate.
Right. So a lot of people say like oysters are an acquired taste.
Well, especially raw oysters.
Yes. Raw oysters. Exactly. Coffee even, right? Like the first time I drank coffee when I was a kid, I thought this is disgusting. And now Diana knows I drink at least 17 coffees every day.
Yes. And I think there's one that a lot of people will argue is very much an acquired taste, durian.
Oh, yeah. An acquired smell as well.
Now, of course, Sarah, being the foodie that she is, wants to know what is for dessert.
Okay. So, sounds like we got this pretty cool place right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning really, really close by.
Yes.
Nearby.
Yeah. It does not literally have to be right around the corner.
Right.
But it could be.
It could be, right? Mm-hmm. It could be. It could be down the street.
Yes.
It could be a few blocks away.
Right.
But right, it just means nearby, close by.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it's a street lined with food vendors.
Okay, and vendor is just another way to say seller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't really say seller
very much. Yeah, food
seller. Food seller or, yeah, you know, like whatever else they sell there. I'm sure a lot of it is not just food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but we usually say vendors.
Yes. Now, what is this that she has to try?
She is going to try candied Chinese hawthorn.
A personal favorite of mine.
Really?
Yes. So this is basically a fruit, and it's been covered with sugar, basically.
Sugar, okay. And then?
You eat it.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's about it for our lesson on Beijing food. So let's go ahead and listen to the dialogue one more time.
All right. Hey, Sarah. How was the Great Wall?
The views were amazing, Phil. But after all that climbing, I'm starving.
Don't worry. The Peking duck is almost here.
I'm so excited. What else are we eating?
Oh, these are jiajiang noodles. They're tossed in a soybean paste, topped with minced pork and strips of cucumber.
Wow, that's quite flavorful.
Beijing's food is as headstrong as its people. We don't shy away from anything that brings out bold flavors.
What about dumplings? I hear those are a northern Chinese specialty.
Already ordered some.
What else is worth eating? I'm going to be here for a couple days.
You should definitely try lamb hot pot. And for breakfast tomorrow, I'll take you to get some flatbread. There's a huge variety. Oh, and mung bean milk.
Can't wait. What's for dessert?
Well, Wang Fu Jing is right around the corner. It's a street lined with food vendors. And you have to try candied Chinese hawthorn.
All right, so I know we have quite a few users out there in Beijing. So we want to know if we did a good job covering, you know, the more standout foods.
Right, yeah. But please, by all means, let us know what we missed.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot.
Right. I mean, we can only fit so much into a 15-minute lesson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do want to cover the basics. But, of course, there always is that comment section, too. You know, you guys do a great job of interacting, of communicating with each other in that comment section.
Mm-hmm.
Answering each other's questions.
Right.
You know, defending our hosts if somebody says something, you know, maybe not so nice about us.
Uh-huh. So we also want to know, as with all of our food series lessons, what you would like us to talk about next.
Right. I mean, it seems like we've been quite a few places already,
mm-hmm,
but there's still a huge country that's waiting for us.
Yes. So as always, we look forward to those comments, and we will see you guys next time.
All right. Bye, guys. Lord, I spend plenty of days and nights alone with my grief. But I pray, really and truly pray, somebody will come. Invites me moaning, 'cause of all the trouble I see, life's a losing game.